Hello and welcome to the Amber Spycast, your one-stop shop for all things His Dark Materials. We're jumping into chapters 11 and 12 of the Amber Spyglass. And to me, the more I read this, the more I'm like, did I ever read this book? But I know I did. But it's still, I'm having a great time and I can't wait to hear the recap. Joanna, do you have one?
I always have one, Alaric.
Electrifying.
Here we go. In Lyra's world, Amma and her demon Kulang play a game among the rock shelves on their way to deliver food to Mrs. Coulter. Rounding the top of a waterfall, Amma is startled to find a bear and a boy peering at her from over the edge. The pair explain that they are looking for a cave with a sleeping girl inside. Surprised by this, Amma reveals that she knows this cave and has special herbs to wake up Lyra. She leads Will to Mrs. Coulter's cave and they plan for Amma to return with the medicine when she delivers the evening meal. Will watches Mrs. Coulter from afar, but is discovered by the golden monkey. Shortly after, Will meets Mrs. Coulter for the first time. She explains that she keeps Lyra asleep in the cave because she wants to protect Lyra from the forces of the church. Will knows that Mrs. Coulter is lying. He leaves the cave, but remains captivated by her. Meanwhile, aboard the Zeppelin of the Consistorial Court, two Gallivespian spies hatch their special dragonflies. Through a device called the Lotus Stone Resonator, they receive a message from their chief, who tells them to cooperate with Will. Lord Asriel's troops and the Consistorial Court are almost at Mrs. Coulter's doorstep, while high above, the Gallivespians take shelter in the trees and keep watch. Will plans to cut a hole from another world to enter the cave and rescue Lyra. When he does, Mrs. Coulter springs awake and grabs at him, struggling for the knife. As they skirmish, Will looks at Mrs. Coulter and thinks of his mother's face. His heart fills with sorrow and the knife lodges in the air, breaking into pieces. Amma gives Lyra the medicine and she awakens. Will gathers the broken pieces of the subtle knife and stores them in its sheath. Outside the cave, the Zeppelins are closing in and Will calls for Balthamos to help him. Before he can answer, Mrs. Coulter yells in pain and drops her weapon. As Will grabs for the pistol, he finds Mrs. Coulter in a strange stalemate, for the golden monkey holds the tiny Lady Silmakia hostage, while the Chevalier Tialis digs his poison spur into Mrs. Coulter's neck. Travis, so much. These were short chapters, but so much. What's your take?
Action, action, action. I loved it. It actually kind of felt a little, I won't say out of place, but it was a little shocking that there was so much, like, you know, just straight up fight scene, big budget, widescreen fight scenes, you know? He had some, the standoff felt a little Tarantino-esque, which is just, again, weird coming from Pullman. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, outside we had this gigantic air battle, which is also amazing. So it was kind of neat. It was really neat. I'll tell you what, you know, because I don't want to distract from the rest of the story. But the thing that stood out to me this week is the Africans in their gyrocopters was super neat, because mm-hmm. what it suggests to me is that on Lyra's world, I don't think there were slaves. I don't think that there was like a slavery period. I think we had our servants and all kinds of stuff. Because in this period, we've got an Africa where the folks are technologically and peers with the rest of the world. They're able to get into a straight up, you know, air dogfight with the most powerful group in the world, the church. So it's pretty neat. I like what Pullman's done here. It's subtle, but well done.
It it had a real heist flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the groundwork that's being laid for stealing Lyra. Really, I mean, she's the MacGuffin. You know, she's the thing that we're trying to get for these two chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And like how it's going to be done. Every great heist movie has hitches and problems that happen, and this is like all those things play out in this, where it's like, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do, and it's like, oh no, we're not going to do that. It's just not going to work. We're going to try something else. And then, you know, everything goes to hell. I really appreciated that about it. I'm a big heist person. I like those movies and stories, and I was really drawn in by this.
Yeah, heists are a lot of fun. Do you guys watch Rick and Morty?
I don't.
I okay. don't either.
There is a fantastic heist episode recently, and I recommend that all fans of heists check it out. Especially, just check out the Rick and Morty episode about heists. It's wonderful.
All right. I'll check it out.
Same.
I kind of want to start with Will's reaction to Mrs. Coulter and how strong it was. And it, again, reveals her. She really has a power over people.
A kind of a creepy power.
Yeah.
In this case. And it's not supernatural. Like, it's obvious that it's not supernatural. No. She just knows how to manipulate people. And we haven't seen her do it with women, but she definitely knows how to manipulate men of all ages.
Oh, yeah. And Will's... You know, he's aware of her, and he knows he has a mission. He knows what he's supposed to do. But the things that happen and his reaction to her are like, is it matronly? Is it about her being beautiful? Is it like, what are the things that are like messing with his mind? You know, he thinks of his mother and it destroys. And then you don't even know as a reader if Marissa's telling the truth all the way up to the very last moment in the second chapter that we read, where it's like, what is she? Is this a game? Did she really switch sides? I found myself, even knowing how much I didn't like her, like maybe she has switched sides, or maybe she does want, she certainly wants Lyra to be alive, but do we believe that her keeping her asleep like that was the best thing for Lyra?
I mean, I believe what she's saying to him. Like, Mrs. Coulter, even back in Golden Compass, she would tell Lyra straight up. Like, she didn't lie. What she expected was that the truth would be appealing enough, or that the truth would be, you know, hypnotizing enough to draw you in. She didn't have to lie to you. She could tell you the truth and weave it in a way that drew you in anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where she gets a lot of her power. Because, she, you know, you don't trust somebody once you know they lied to you. And she doesn't, a lot of times, technically, like, lie. I wonder how much of this with Will... There is this weird, I don't know, not Mrs. Robinson vibe, but there was just this weird...
Oh, no, there was a total, you're spot okay, on. There okay, was a total okay, Mrs. Robinson vibe.
Because I was just like, I don't get what's going on. Like, is it because he's maturing and starting to maybe feel something for Lyra and he sees it in her? But, you know, Mrs. Coulter, you know, Lyra is still in that sort of off-limits place, but Mrs. Coulter isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other reason why that would then get under his skin so much, because then he can't stop thinking about, like, he obsesses kind of over her for a bit.
Mm-hmm. I think because, you know, he looks at her and, like you said, sees Lyra, but it's like Lyra, you know? You know, it's like what Lyra could be, you know, mm-hmm. or will be, because, like, from the second when she did that little thing where she puts her hair back over her ears, mm-hmm. he was hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was hooked. And I think it's at some point he's probably seen Lyra do something like that. If he did, I missed it. But that was the switch. That was the switch when she just got in his head. And she knew it. She totally knew that she got in his head. So, yeah, I mean, because when she offered him the drink and all, it was totally Mrs. Robinson moment. But again, she's doing it to manipulate.
We get a little bit more time with our friends, the Galavespians, and they're so great. And their dragonflies hatch, and they start sort of quickly. They have to get ready pretty quick, these poor dragonflies. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you've just been born. I'm now cutting a hole in the side of it. We're going to fly. Like, let's go. So it's like, whoa, they really have to be ready to go. I just love... This is one of those big fantasy moments, you know, these miniature people flying on dragonflies. Like, give me more of this, man. This book it's gone full high fantasy. This is as big as it gets, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I just love these characters and knowing that there's an it's not just these two. There is an entire race of these people. And where do they live? And what's their are they in a different world? How do they integrate with other societies? I love it.
I would read a book series that focused on the Gallivespians and their world and their, like, and yeah, like what they did, how they, like, mm-hmm. I would love to read that and to be immersed in that. Mm-hmm. Even the detail he gives with just the, when Lady Salmakia's dragonfly is hatching, I just love that, like the detail. She had this electric blue one, you know, the damp filmy wings were clear. She was taking care to let her face be the first thing that imprinted itself on the many faceted eyes, soothing the fine stretched nerves, whispering its name to the brilliant creature, teaching it who it was. Like, what a beaut, like, it's such a, like, I'm trying to think of other times when I've seen where, like, where they're connecting with that, like, you know, when somebody, I don't know, connects with a horse or connects with their, you know, I don't know, luck dragon. I don't know what else would you connect with, you know, in that way that is, it's so deep. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting at is, like, even just the way that they get these dragonflies that they're using, which live, you know, shorter than they do, I'm guessing, mm-hmm. You know, just this kind of care that they take to really bring them, how special and important and intimate it is. It's cool.
It's another one of those pairings, right? I mean, we've got our the demons, we've got this, you know, there, mm-hmm. this book, the series just filled with all of these, you know, little, I don't know, again, I keep struggling for the word, but I'm just going to go with pairings between, you know, a person and a not person. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not brotherhood or sisterhood. It's not friendship. It's something deeper than that, but it's hard to really put, I agree with you. I'm not sure if I could put my finger on what it is, these links between consciousnesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does the lodestone work?
Quantum entanglement. It's totally science fiction. It's science. We are in science fiction territory too.
This is like in Star Trek. You know, when they wrote Star Trek, they would just put tech, 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 tech in the script, and then someone would come in later and put in, like, you know, all the stuff about Jeffrey's tubes and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what is it? Is it like Morse code? Is it like, how do they use it?
Well, if it's like I said, you know, quantum entanglement, like they do in a lot of science fiction, I mean, basically you've got something that's identical on the other side that was created at the same time, and they're able to send messages between the two, either sending data. Yeah, it's basically like you're changing the state here, and it instantly changes the state over there.
Is there a description of, like, what it actually looks like, or do they just name it? I don't remember. Right?
They just say, like, the lodestone resonator, I mean, or whatever it is. I don't think they say what it is, what it looks like.
Yeah, this is, like, one of those items that's you know, the alethiometer is one thing, and the subtle knife is another thing, and this is one of those things that... It's special and it's amazing, but it's also something that the Gallivespians, this is one of their things. They have them and they use them, and that's another reason why they're so valuable. You wonder why they haven't made more of them, or why someone else hasn't figured out how to make them.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool. I can't wait to see these in action in the show.
So, yeah. So how do you envision them to look? Because when I was reading it, what I saw in my head, because the Gallivespians are so, you know, organic and, like, nature-based, I just kind of saw this, like, cool-looking or odd-shaped rock that kind of, like, glowed.
Same.
Like, with a color and, like, maybe mm-hmm. pulsated as it was. Did you see mm-hmm. it like that, too?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, something that was glowing, for sure.
We're all connected!
Yeah. It's kind of a cube. Like, I guess I pictured it kind of cubish.
See, I just thought of it as like rockish. You
like
know,
a rock. Me
just,
too.
Yeah, yeah, just like a, not a mood rock, but God, I'm old. But, you know, just like a nice smooth rock in its own, each one has its own shape.
Mm-hmm.
They close, yeah.
Cool. So, you know, Will, just to go back a little bit, Will had, he'd been in the cave and he had this conversation with Mrs. Coulter, and he sort of eyeballed where Lyra is. Mm-hmm. And the plan, part of the heist, is to steal her. And he knows where she is located enough that he thinks he can make his way into another world that matches a little bit and go to sort of where she is, cut through, check little spots, and then grab her and pull her through and then wake her up. Although at one point, I feel like they were going to wake her up before they pulled her through, which I thought was kind of a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And so that hatches the plan, and they move, you know, he cuts through and onto a world that's very brightly lit by the moon, mm-hmm. on very bright rocks, which has its own problems. But he takes Amma through. Amma comes with him into the other world, and she's remarkably kind of cool with it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's pretty much on board. But he cuts through, and lo and behold, Lyra's not where she was earlier, which is a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I find it so interesting. You know, time and time again, Will is able to pull the wool over all these people's eyes. He's able to disappear. You know, he's able to fade away. He's able to kind of become invisible. And he thought, without seeming to, the way he did when he was in Sir Charles's house, like memorizing the layout, he thought it was like imperceptible. And here's Mrs. Coulter, you know, like, and she knew it. And mm-hmm. it's like, how did she know it? But she did, because when he goes through, she, like, Lyra's not there.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, it's just, it's her. I mean, that's impressive. Like, to me, that's really impressive, because she is not only manipulating, but she's also able to pay attention. You know what I mean? Like, she can do but multitask in this way that I would, like, mm-hmm. I'd have to do one or the other. I'm either going to flirt with you, or I'm going to, like, strategize, but I can't do both.
This is difficult. I can't put you in two different boxes. Mm-hmm. I'm just interested in the kind of background that Mrs. Coulter has to have to be this devious. I mean, goodness gracious, what kind of person, what kind of childhood did she have that got her here?
Right, like, what's her backstory?
Uh-huh.
Because I would read the crap out of those books, too, because I want to know what made Marissa Marissa.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even a big fan of prequels, but good Lord, I really want a prequel with the life of Marissa.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's part of what we're going to read in La Belle Sauvage.
Ooh, or something,
one of those, which will be fun.
Yeah.
You know, not only is she so devious and so dialed in and picks up on that so quickly, she's been sitting in this cave, barely eating for weeks. Mm-hmm. And she's having very little interaction with anyone. And then, like, someone she's aware of, who is wielding an object that she is aware of, who has come, she knows what she immediately back into action, immediately ready to play ball. It's really something.
You know, on that note, though, I wonder, she apparently had, like, some kind of, like, pleasant scent on her. And I just wonder, how does she smell good after being in the cave for so long? She's got to be horrible.
Well, I mean, I know that in her house, she had that metallic smell, but she also had that smell of roses, which mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily meaning she sprayed it. Like, it's almost like this, you know, it's like a almost like a figurative, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. smell.
Yeah.
But the way they say it here says, Will smelled the fragrance of some scent she was wearing combined with the fresh smell of her body.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
So her natural musk? I don't know.
That's the worst phrase in the world.
Is it worse than moist? Moist musk?
A moist musk.
Lord. Those are awful. Those are all awful. Sorry. That's
good. That would be an interesting band name. Musk. Ladies and gentlemen.
But maybe it's like seriously like a pheromone. I mean, maybe. You know, like some people seriously do like produce a stronger one. It's how you get like alpha males and alpha female. Like maybe she just, that's part of her ability is to smell alluring.
Maybe.
Oh boy. It's opening a whole can of worms in this book. So you know, that Will is also a pretty quick thinker. And he pretty much just scraps the whole plan. I mean, he just ditches the whole plan and is like, it's going to be more of a snatch and grab type thing now, instead of having this carefully planned thing where he's going to sneak in and he's going to pull her into this other world and she's literally going to disappear. Mm-hmm. He's just going to run up, right? I mean, just run up to the mouth of the cave and just grab her while Mrs. Coulter is sort of asleep. Unfortunately, the the whirly gigs are laughing about the same time. It's like, they're going to wake him up, I think. So it's like the whole plan is just torched.
Yeah, he's ready to Leroy Jenkins right into the cave. Oh,
he's doing it. He's doing it.
Exactly. All right, chumps, let's do this.
She wakes up. I mean, you know what? The plan is just a complete catastrophe. Right. But Will is like I can do this. I can still do it. I can cut. I can pull. I can do it quickly. Unforch. He's super enamored with this woman enough that it breaks his concentration and he breaks the knife into eight pieces.
Yeah.
That was possible?
Yes. That long pause was me just with my mouth open like, how? How do you break something like that? How is that even breakable?
I mean, he broke it on like the universe, you know, like it's not like he broke it on a rock. He broke it on. So I'm thinking it's okay.
But I mean, how it's so fascinating to me that, and you know, there's something super messed up with him looking over at Mrs. Coulter, who he's kind of semi-lusting after. And then he sees his mom.
Right.
Which is just, there's all sorts of layers of ooh.
Oedipal weird stuff.
Yeah.
But I look forward to them going to the alternate universe where it's populated by nothing but therapists.
But then this idea that his sorrow was so great that it could shatter that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we remember when he's learning how to use the knife, what Lyra kept telling him was don't, you're trying to block your pain to focus, let it flow through you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if it was just, it's not like it broke it on the universe, but maybe his sorrow, that great amount of sorrow broke it versus mm-hmm. it catching on something that it couldn't. Do you know what I mean?
Because he's mm-hmm. extending himself through the knife.
Yeah.
It's so much of him as part of how it's used. Mm-hmm. It really is something, and Will is kind of like stunned by it. But he has the sense enough during the madness that's going on during this battle to pick up all the little pieces very carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remembering like how what kind of, you know, cut that it can do. And it was eight pieces, right? He felt like he got them all, their pieces, to put it carefully into the sheath. What is he going to do with those? Do you think Urich will be able to reforge it? He really analyzed that thing so much. Is Urich the key here?
But he doesn't even know what it is or what it's made of. How could you repair something that, but it had to have been made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it was obviously made. So if it was made once, it should be able to be repaired. Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of metaphysical... Yeah. No, God, just like whatever metaphysical things attached to it to make it work.
I just can't imagine Will's the first person. What's that?
I was just wondering if, do you only need the tip? Like, do you need, if he has the very end of it, could he attach that to something else and still use it in the same way?
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying?
I just can't imagine he's the first person to break this. I mean, it's been around for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple wielders. And I can't imagine that he's the first person who's felt so poorly that it's been broken. So odds are there is a way. And, I'm sure there's Yorick can figure it out. I mean, they make armor out of space rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he can figure it out. This is Yorick.
And it's foreshadowing that Yorick basically stared at the knife for weeks. You just like stared at mm-hmm. it, so it feels like that was important. Now it's very important. Staring at it so much, you know,
contemplate the blade, Yorick.
Yeah, like what will he do and how will he do it?
Yeah.
yeah, that was pretty, you know, it is a small moment. It's big, but it's a small moment among the melee that's happening, because we have the copters who must have really sped up because they were behind quite a bit, and they sort of descend almost at the exact same moment. The Zeppelins are just spitting out soldiers like crazy, and they're using crossbows, right? Mm-hmm. And they were extremely accurate with their crossbows. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, the gyrocopters can only land in a few places. And so that ends up being kind of problematic for them. And one of them crashes on, like, the one landing site that was legit. And they're kind of stuck. There's real problems here. Mm-hmm. But luckily, our friends, the Galvespians, had already ditched and jumped off the Zeppelins. And they sneakily are already down on the ground, which we'll find out in a moment. Mm-hmm. Lyra, thankfully, though, I have been waiting for my girl Lyra. All I got was those little blurbs at the beginning and end of chapters in the first. She is finally awake. How many pages are we into this book now?
141.
141. Out of how many in the paper copy?
That's a 500 page book, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much 465.
So it's about it's a big chunk of the book. Mm. I was very pleased to have her back. I'm thrilled to have her re-enter this story. Mm-hmm. But it just reminded me a little bit that I was kind of bummed that she was sidelined for so much of it. I get it. Is this fridging? I mean, not really, but you know, this is the main character. And she's been asleep for 140 pages. I mean, the book's great, but
yeah,
not just 140 pages. She was also asleep at the end of the last book.
That's
so
right.
So we haven't seen Lyra for some time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily miss her all that much.
Aww.
I'm not saying I'm not happy. I mean, I'm glad she's back, but I don't know.
Stuff going on. I get it.
Yeah, like, and I enjoyed that, and I know she's the main character, but I really like getting other tastes of other parts of this world and a little bit more about who other people are. I am happy, though, that those little parts stopped a chapter or two ago, those little weird italic-y
parts. No?
Mm-hmm. It did, because it was just that it was done.
I thought, you know, at the very least, they would continue all the way up to the point where she was awoken.
That's right, right.
But instead, they just kind of petered out, and we went back to the quotes from whatever that book is.
Yeah.
Love's Labor's Lost. I can't remember. Anyway, whatever the book that he quotes all the time. I'm not going to go nuts on this, but very happy that she's back.
Mm-hmm.
She is extremely groggy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, because where she was and what she was experiencing was so vivid. And we believe, I think, that she was actually there. Like, she was somehow was crossing that plane, whatever.
Oh, no, for sure.
So the disorientation must be extreme. But she's awake. And Mrs. Coulter is kind of, again, this is a moment where you're like, do I trust her? Is she saying that she's relieved that Will is there? And that she's relieved that Lyra's awake. It does make sense. If she wanted Lyra asleep, because she says, well, if she woke up, she'd run away. She hates Mrs. Coulter. She hates her mother. She hates Mrs. Coulter. But now that Will is there, there could be some relief that he's there, because now Lyra can wake up and she won't run away from Will.
Right.
And if she can convince Will that she's sort of team them, and she's sort of come around and she's ditched the church, which is a big part of that speech that she gives. Does that mean that Lyra will stick around, or will Lyra immediately start to convince Will to ditch?
Mm-hmm. See, this ties right into what Joanna was saying earlier about how she doesn't lie. She never really lies about the facts on the face.
To Amma, she lies to Amma.
Right. Okay, you know, yeah.
That, about her being sick and all that.
That's true. But to Lyra, she never really does.
Right.
She usually lies about the reasons that she does things. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I want you with me, not because I love you, but because I have another purpose for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what we were seeing here. I think, you know, I don't believe why she was doing this stuff. But yes, she wanted Lyra there. Yes, she wanted Will there, but not for the reason she told us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I liked it. You said she was unreliable. Right, like you were saying, and I think in that sense she's also like unreliable. She doesn't even, I think sometimes she can't even always, like, she doesn't even trust herself. I mean, mm-hmm. you see time and time again where she sort of, especially in the series, you saw way more of an internal conflict with the way that Ruth Wilson had portrayed Mrs. Coulter and you know how she was doing things and why she was doing things, but you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, she's such a practiced liar and a practiced deceiver. I think she sometimes believes what she says is true, even when mm-hmm. it's not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why people trust her, because again, like she makes that lie seem so real or so like acceptable. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
it's
kind of
like Lyra when she says that she doesn't lie. She basically, you know, makes herself believe these stories. Because then we have this chat about the about a good liar and their imagination before.
Right. But she doesn't make things up. She takes real things and weaves them together because it mm-hmm. becomes believable.
Right.
And whatever Mrs. Coulter is telling herself, whether it's true or not, she's come to believe that that's what she's doing and why she's doing it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
This battle is really just begun here. I'm not sure who's going to come out on top. Do we get a sense of how they're going to get away? I mean, one of these groups, they don't have the knife anymore. Yurik is going to fight. Although, did we see Yurik fight at the end of this yet?
We didn't see it. We heard that it was happening.
He was positioned somewhere, but we didn't really like see him.
Yeah.
Do we get a sense of how this is going to, as far as what's happening and what's encroaching on them, doesn't even get into the fact that we have the Galavespians stepping up and getting, you know what, done
mm-hmm.
and incapacitating Mrs. Coulter. Unfortunately, Ozymandias, the monkey, is also somewhat clever. And grabs hold of the lady.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he likes to do to bats?
Oh.
Yeah.
Not good.
But like I said earlier, we got our little Tarantino-esque standoff, and I loved it. Sort of. here's why only sort of. I feel like the monkey sometimes has more agents. They're not consistent with how much agency. Pullman's not consistent with how much agency the monkey has. You know, sometimes the monkey is like totally acting on his own. Other times he just seems like he's, at Mrs. Coulter's whim. And, you know, and also he doesn't seem to like Mrs. Coulter that much. So I don't know. I just feel, part of me doesn't feel like he's going to rip off the arms, from a tiny person to protect her. That's just me.
But if she dies, he dies. So, like, there's got to be some self-preservation here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't want to die.
Right.
Even if he doesn't like doesn't like Mrs. Coulter, I'm sure he wants to be alive.
Right.
Although I guess there's a possibility. There's a part of him that's like, I'm done with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, the poison at the tip of this spike, you know, he wouldn't necessarily have an awareness of its existence or what it was, other than that she was in some mortal danger with this little critter.
Mm-hmm. So, what gave him the idea that she was in mortal danger?
It's hard to say because I think it happened. It was like a bang bang moment because I think he got a hold of the lady Salmakia. What's her name?
Salmakia.
Salmakia. He got a hold of her virtually at the same moment that Mrs. Coulter went down. Mm-hmm. And I think it sort of happened at the same time, almost like that Tarantino-esque thing where they sort of like roll and they're both pointing at each other. Mm-hmm. I think that is sort of, it must have happened like bang, bang. It was very fast. Mm-hmm. And then they both had, nobody had the upper hand. They were like even Steven. So mm-hmm. they'll have some negotiation here, or Will or Lyra will have to step in and do something.
You know what? I'm looking at the text here, and I think I see why. So he sees on the heel a glistening horny spur and knew that it caused her to cry out a moment before. He must have stung her ankle. And then, mm-hmm. so Will sees this. And if Will sees this, then it stands to reason that the monkey saw it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a reasonable assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here we are. This was one of those, I really wanted to go ahead and do 13. You know, I wanted to just keep reading. Because this was one of our biggest kind of cliffhanger moments
yeah.
that we've ever ended in our chapter pairings, you know. Mm-hmm. We usually sort of get some closure as we're sort of, just sort of, it's been lucky that way. We sort of had like, but this one's like, oh, yeah, like it's nothing. It's like we don't know what's going to happen, and there's lots to discuss.
I just love how it ends, right? Like, Mrs. Coulter is the sew master. Will, what do you think we should do now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just great.
That's a very Bond villain type thing to say.
Yes.
But yes. I also love how, like, I mean, this woman, you know, Azrael's troops are coming. The Zeppelins are coming, mm-hmm. firing. I mean, huge flames and bomb. And she's standing at the mouth of that cave. She's like, pop, 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 pop.
With a revolver.
With a pistol. Mm-hmm. Like, homegirl's just standing there in the mouth of the cave thinking that. Like, I'm like, are you shooting the people with the crossbows? Like, what are you doing? Is it just a desperate, like, you know, is she sharpshooting or is she just, like, blindly shooting to do whatever? And you know, and then Will calls out. It's so action-packed is what I'm saying. Then Will calls mm-hmm. out because he realizes he can't get out, calls for Balthamos. As Balthamos doesn't come because I guess the Galavespians take advantage of the distraction and then they come and then it's the standoff, and then it's like that beautiful so Master Will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stopping was hard.
Like it would be in silence. Like, you would just hear her voice and it would be quiet, but it's just mayhem, you know, everywhere around. Yeah. Like, the sound would, like, drop out for that, and she would say right. that, be quiet. But no, it's like insanity around them.
Though I think you hit it on. I can't remember which one of you said it, but she would make an outstanding Bond villain.
Oh, yeah. She really would.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Now I want that to happen. And it's kind of funny because we've got in the original Golden Compass movie, Daniel Craig is Lord Azrael. So she kind of is a Bond villain.
We got a crossover. We got a crossover.
We do.
I like it. Any other topics to talk about? I mean, Amma plays a role here. She has some stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she did pretty good job with figuring out how to use the powder. She listened to instruction pretty well.
And a pretty good job just, again, without being able to understand or speak the language, to perceive in whatever way her demon is able from the other, you know, demons to, like, sort of perceive. And the fact is that Balthamos actually speaks, right? Doesn't he actually speak
to
Kulang mm-hmm. in a way that he can? I think that's why she understands. I mean, because what kind of detail could she have gotten? You know, when she was speaking before, you know, there was this, like, vague understanding she had with Mrs. Coulter. Yeah. But she was like, yeah, detailed plan. We're going to do this and this and this and this. And so, you know, that the idea that, you know, the way Balthamos, I guess, spoke to her demon gave her a little bit more, like you said, Travis, like a little more agency, a little bit more power, a little bit more presence.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, what is she, like 12, 10? I mean, she's younger than they
are,
right?
Young,
yeah.
Yeah, I think she's even less than that.
Yeah.
But she's scrappy.
She is. She is indeed.
Well, next week we're going to find out what kind of resolution we're going to get out of this in chapters 13 and 14, which I'll start tomorrow. I'm very excited about it.
Can't wait. Same.
Can't wait. We'll appreciate everybody listening, and we're back to week to week. It's good. And how's our health? Are we out of the woods?
Yes, I am. I've got a child with the flu now, so that's kind of fun. She's definitely down for the count for the rest of the week.
Oh, boy.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
So.
But so far, other than my maladies, we're knock on wood. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Unfortunately, I'm healthy, too, which means I can't miss school. I wish I could get the flu so I could just have... We haven't had a snow day. We haven't had a snow day. What's up with that?
Yeah, February was just like nothing.
This is killing me.
And it's going to be like in the 60s here next week.
Yeah.
It's cuckoo.
Yeah, I'm just praying for like a stomach virus or something so I can just have a break.
Are you guys... Talk about pop culture. Are you guys watching The Outsider?
I haven't started it. I mean, I'm going to have to wait till after my play. I don't have extra time.
Wait, is Outsider the HBO show?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, Stephen King.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman.
I have so many shows.
There really are too many. I actually binged all of I'm Not Okay With This.
I want to watch that too.
Yeah.
I will say, if you did want to binge something, the first episode is 19 minutes long. Oh, the second episode is like 22 minutes. They're all very, very short. Uh-huh. So you could do it easily in two nights.
Oh, fun.
And
I'm Not Okay With This. Is that short, you're saying?
Yes, they're okay. Very, very short. So if you want some bite-sized nuggets to fill some time,
yeah. I
recommend that. It's pretty fun. It's also set in very rural Pennsylvania. Yeah, like rural Pennsylvania, like right near West Virginia. It's just the setting alone is fantastic. You guys will love it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We just finished Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts.
We've been watching that. Yeah, it's really fun.
It's awesome. It ends really well. I think you'll really enjoy it. And we've been catching up on Doctor Who because we didn't watch last season at all.
Oh, wow.
After the first episode. And it's pretty good. This next season has picked up quite a bit.
That's good.
It's creepy, but it's fun. I like Jodie Whittaker a lot.
Yeah, I like her too. I like her too.
Both of my kids went to cosplay as her.
Good, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have a great week, guys. Thank you for listening. And check us out on the web. And shoot us some feedback at feedback@theamberspycast.com.
Woohoo.
Excellent.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Yeah.